Well, this morning we're going to look primarily at the Lord's Supper rather than what I had originally planned, because the original plan was to jump in with session one of Faith in Motion. But today we're going to look at instead how we can really observe the Lord's Supper, but do so according to what the Bible says. That's a strange way of doing it, isn't it? You know, we're going to look at how we should really observe what the Lord teaches us about the Lord's Supper and how the Bible says that we really ought to go about doing it. First thing I want to say, you know what? God's in control. Did you ever realize that? He is really in control. It hit me even more again this week as I went through that process of passing that oral defense, and I really appreciated everybody's prayers because without them, I'm not so sure if it would have been so easy. But I remember the first question out of my chairman's mouth was, he said, actually it was a statement. He said, you know, your dissertation's longer than any ones I've ever approved or ever let get through. Because he said, normally I don't want them to be longer than about 300 pages. But he said, yours is 397 pages. And then he was quiet. And I'm going, oh. I mean, the first thought was, uh-oh, what a way to start off. We got problems, Houston. But he said, I really felt that we needed to go ahead and use all 397 pages because it's got all the statistical data, and you need the statistical data in there to tell the story. And so anyway, that all goes through, and we started having a good conversation. It went all the way toward the end, and we got down to about the last 15 minutes, and then we're on conference call. It's myself and my chairman, and he had two other people that were listening in, and every once in a while they'd interject. Two other professors. Anyway, and all of a sudden, if y'all ever been on conference call, I think the most dreaded sound is beep, beep, beep. And you go, uh-oh. And there's nothing there. It's just blank air. But that beep, beep, beep means that something's happened and it's disconnected itself. So I'm sitting there going, okay, do I wait for him to call back or do I go ahead and initiate? Okay, I'll just go ahead and initiate back in. So I went ahead and did that. And he said, oh, there you are. He said, I thought you heard the question that I just asked and you couldn't answer it, so you hung up. So we laughed about that a little bit, and I said, no. I said, you know, all of a sudden I got the beep, beep, beep. He said, you know, I did too. And he said, I thought that was my phone going dead, because he was on a wireless phone. So we got, you know, let me give you the question again. So he gave the question and went right into it, finished it up, and we wrapped the thing up in just about an hour. It was, praise God. God's in control. And he really gave me a peace throughout the whole process. The other part then is, we're supposed to have session one starting today of Faith in Motion, videos and all the rest of the stuff and the books and all this like. They didn't get here. Now, there has to be, there's got to be a reason. God's got something he wants done rather than us watching the video today. So we're going to put it off, like I said, until next week. Now, you know, personally, when the plans have to change, does that frustrate any of you guys? When you got something all lined up and you know it's going to do, 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 you know, and all of a sudden, wait a minute, kink, rubber came off the wheels. The wheels fell off. What do we do, right? Y'all live that way too? You know, it just really sometimes frustrates when something happens like that. But that's what happened. And so I'm going, okay, Lord, what's the real? What's the deal? Well, really what I came to understand is he wanted us to go ahead and really just concentrate on the Lord's Supper today, because that's who our study's all about. Our whole study this next 6 weeks is all about Jesus Christ. And so rather than starting off session one this week, we're going to do it next week. And this week, we're going to focus on Jesus. We're going to focus on the Lord's Supper. And out of that, I hope each one of us is going to be challenged to something. Because in our study, the thing that happens, the thing that it's about is Jesus and how you and I are supposed to be salt and light. And if we're going to be salt and light, you know what? The first thing we got to do is we really got to know Jesus Christ. We got to know him. We got to love him. Because if we don't love him, how are we going to show him? Amen? And if And I've got to trust him. I got to trust him in a whole bunch of stuff. We're having to trust him, like I said, in this, you know, in session one, being next week instead of right now. And then what we've got to do is we've got to let him show out of our lives. Otherwise, I'm trying to show Jerry light, and I don't want to show Jerry light. I want to show Jesus. Amen? So all that said, really what we've got to do is we need to, if we're going to really be the true salt and light that Jesus has asked us to be or told us we're supposed to be, we've got to focus our eyes, our minds, our hearts on Jesus. And what better way to do that than to come and focus in and remember Jesus as we go through the ordinance of the Lord's Supper. Amen? There is no better way. And we've got several folks who are visiting with us today, and we're glad you guys are here. We do what's considered to be open communion, which means that if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, you don't have to be a member of Dallas Baptist Church to partake of the Lord's Supper. We invite you to partake with us, celebrate with us. So anyway, as we go through this, the thing that the Lord showed me as I looked at these verses, verse 23 down to 26, there is a certain form, F-O-R-M, a certain order about the Lord's Supper. And Jesus gave us that order for a reason. You see, it is so easy for us as Christians to ignore order, particularly when it comes to the ordinance of the Lord's Supper, and jump right to the main thing. You know, oftentimes what we'll do is we'll sing, we'll praise, I'll preach, we'll have an invitation, and then we'll jump right to the Lord's Supper, and it's kind of like it became disconnected. Amen? But it's not supposed to be. And so we need to focus in on what this ordinance is really all about. And I think in order to help us today, what I want us to do is as we look at this passage, and I'm going to go through the verses themselves, I want us to look and think about the fact that there is in fact an order that Jesus set out in the Lord's Supper. And he introduced it this way so that he could introduce and tell us about these various elements that there are of what the supper's about. So in doing that, I think each one of us then is going to be able to better appreciate the supper itself. Amen? I think we can appreciate it better, but even more so, we can really appreciate what Jesus Christ did for us. And that's really the big thing. Okay, now, one of the things that, as we look at the form and this order of the giving of, is what is going on? Well, look, if you will, if you're in your Bibles, starting in verse 23, and again, it's 1 Corinthians chapter 11, but starting in verse 23, it says, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you," and this is the apostle speaking, "that the Lord Jesus, in the night that he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks," the first really big thing that Jesus did there is Jesus gave thanks. Amen? He started off by giving thanks. And you know what? What he's going to do all the way through this passage is move us from that point of giving thanks all the way to remembering. Now, as we look at that, and it says he had given thanks, he then took the bread, he broke it, and he said, "This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." You'll notice the very first thing again, and start off with giving thanks that Jesus does. Why is that so important? Well, did you ever notice that when something's going on in your life, if you start giving thanks first, all the junk starts to shed? Did you ever notice that? When there's stuff going on, if you start giving thanks, all those thoughts that really distract you, all the hindrances, all the troubles that you might be going through, all of this stuff that sometimes is just there in life, the deadlines in work, PhDs, you know, whatever it happens to be, all of this stuff that you might be facing, as you start giving thanks, instead of concentrating on that stuff, you move from being self-focused to being God-focused. And then you can start accepting what God has for you. And you start to understand that this God really loves us. And that's what Jesus is doing right here. He starts giving thanks. You know, you go, okay, well, that's nice that he did. But do you realize what he was facing? Do you think he realized what he was facing? I mean, he was all man, he was all God. I guarantee you, he knew that in the next few hours, some bad stuff was going to start to happen. And then as the hours progressed, it was going to get better, wasn't it? No, what was going to happen? They were going to end up crucifying him. He was going to die a very miserable death. Amen? And put that in perspective of Jesus introducing the Lord's Supper here. He starts off by giving thanks. Wow. Can you imagine that? He's giving thanks in the face that he's going to be the sacrificial death for all of our sins. He's going to take all of our sins upon himself. He's got the cross he's facing, and he's giving thanks. Man, it would have been a lot easier to say, you know what? I think I'm going to go have the biggest pity party ever. I will define pity party. Wouldn't it have been easier? But what did Jesus do? He gave thanks. He never took his eyes off of the Father. He doesn't go and hold his pity party. He gives thanks. He goes prayerfully before the Father, and he offers thanks over the fact that he's going to be broken and given out for you and me. You know, I think we can learn something, and this is part of the application that comes out of this passage is, you know, instead of running off and whining and bemoaning all the curveballs of life that get thrown at us and dwelling on all the bad things that come into our lives that we might experience, all of the attitudes that we tend to develop, why don't we start off as Christians and go to God and give thanks? Amen. Don't you think maybe the light of Jesus Christ might shine just a little bit brighter out of us if we started off by giving thanks? Okay, back to the Lord's Supper. As we come to the table, let's all of us give thanks for the very fact that Jesus died for us. He went to the cross for us. And as we give thanks this morning, set aside the distractions that are in your life right now. Set aside those distractions that you're in here with. Set them aside. Lay them down and come to the table with an attitude of thanks. Give thanks and focus your heart upon Jesus. Focus your heart on God Himself and come and give thanks. In fact, we're going to do something. I want everybody, if you will, just bow your heads right now in an attitude of prayerfulness. We're just going to take a moment or two in silence. And let's each one of us just give thanks to God for what Jesus did for each one of us. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for what you have done. For it's in your name that each one of us pray this morning. And all of God's people said, Amen. Okay, next thing that we see in verses 23 and 24 is this thing called bread. The element of bread, and we use this element. But Jesus gave thanks first, then he took the bread and he broke the bread, and then he did something else. He gave the bread, didn't he? That's what the Bible tells us. He gave thanks, he broke it, and he gave it. Who's Jesus? Isn't Jesus the bread of life? Think about that. Our Lord Jesus Christ, the bread of life, Christ himself is going to be broken. But here's the important part. Not only was the bread of life broken, it was going to be given out. And Jesus symbolizes that in the bread as he gives it to the disciples. He's giving the bread to each one of his disciples. He's given himself as a gift, the gift of salvation. Praise God. The bread. And he offers it freely, doesn't he? He offers it to just a few. He offered it to the 12 only, and we don't get any. No. He offered it to all of us, didn't he? To every one of us. He's given it so freely, and he holds it out, and he says, here is the gift. A gift is worthless unless you take it. Amen? It doesn't mean a thing unless you receive the gift that is given. In other words, Jesus was going to make the sacrifice. Jesus was going to pay the price. And Jesus offers himself to every man, to every woman, to every boy, to every girl. He's offered himself out as a sacrifice for each one of us. And he offers that free gift of salvation. He says, all you've got to do is take it. Here it is. Take it. That's all symbolized in the giving of the bread. He was giving the bread of life that day, and he's showing that in the Lord's Supper, we're supposed to remember that. Wow. Freely given to each one of his disciples, freely given to you and me, freely given to every man, woman, boy, and girl. And all you and I have to do, just like the disciples, is to reach out and take it. And he says, this is for you. It's done for you. And in him, we get that salvation. Freely given. Amen? Question. Got to ask this one. Have each one of you here today received the free gift of salvation that's been offered by the Lord Jesus Christ? If you go, I don't think so. You can. Holy Spirit's helping you. And he says, just ask God for forgiveness. Turn to God. And in your words, say, Lord, I believe that what you said is true, and I want that, and I accept what you have done. Come into my life. Be my Savior. Be my Lord. And you know what? He'll do it. Amen. He'll do it. Okay. Wow. Move on to verse 25. We move in here to verse 25, and it says, in the same way. And see, in the Greek, what that means is he went through exactly the same procedure. It was done exactly the same way. He gave thanks first, and then he offered the cup. He took the cup after supper, then saying, this cup is the new covenant made in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. In the same way, this is the cup that's offered up in his blood. So he's saying, as we look at the form of the Lord's Supper, here what we're seeing is we're seeing Jesus Christ introducing to us the new covenant that he is going to make, that he is ratifying, that he is paying the price for in the price of his perfect blood that's going to be poured out on Calvary because he loved you and me that much. He's doing that. And he does just exactly, he goes through the same thing. He holds this out and he gives it to each one of the disciples. And he's holding that same cup. At that point in our lives, that cup was being held out to every one of us. And he said, here, take freely and drink. That's receiving it, isn't it? That's what he's saying. He said, take what I have done and receive it. You know, there's a reason why the blood is so important. You see, we go back and we look in the Bible and everything, and we knew the Jews had to offer sacrifices all the time to atone for their sins, okay? And that was because God had ordained it that way. God had set it down because the price of sin is expensive. And there had to be a sacrifice of blood to pay for that sin. It was the only way to satisfy the sin debt in the eyes of a perfect God. And it was God's requirement to satisfy that debt. But yet God loved you and me. He loved people. He loved his creation so much that he wanted to show his mercy toward us. So he sent his son, Jesus Christ, and solved the problem of you and I having to make these sacrifices over and over and over again. And Christ came to be the perfect sacrifice. And it was in the blood of Jesus Christ that Jesus said, I am establishing a brand new covenant. No longer do you have to go through all the motions of ritualistic sacrifice. Now, I have done that for you. And I've done it once. I've done it once. I've done it once. And that's all that's necessary for all time. I've completely satisfied the debt. Take the cup and receive it. Wow. So see, the covenant, this new covenant is seen in the Lord's Supper. And as we take the cup today, remember what Jesus has done for you. That he paid the price. Amen? Amen. That he sealed you permanently. Every one of us had to do that at some point in our lives, or we'll do it now, or we'll do it at some other point in our life. But we need to come to the point where we receive the gift that Jesus holds out for each one of us. Because he wants us to have that perfect forgiveness, that perfect sacrifice that he made, that made that new covenant that said, what I did on the cross where I shed my blood for you because I loved you so much. He says, accept it, and the price is paid permanently, forever. You know what that does? That frees us up. When I have the forgiveness of Jesus Christ, I've been set free permanently. Amen? Free indeed is right. And now I'm living, instead of under rules and regulations and threats and fear, I'm living under the grace and the mercy of God himself. Because he loves me that much that he took care of all of that stuff for me. Whew. But you know what? The Lord's Supper doesn't have a whole lot of meaning to people that don't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. I was telling the people in our first service, I said, you know what? Up until the time that I accepted Jesus when I was 13 years old, I thought the Lord's Supper was kind of a neat church thing to do. It helped make me feel good. You know? It was kind of the big day. It was like, oh boy, we're going to do something really holy. So it's got to be good. Amen? Anybody else been there? It's something holy. Yeah. The church is letting me be part of something holy. Then I accepted Jesus, and I started to see the supper as something completely different. It was now a representation completely of what Jesus Christ had done for me. Never mind, I mean, there were a whole bunch of other folks in the church, but I mean, he had done that for me, you know? Because Jesus is a personal God. And he does it for us. But if we don't have that personal saving relationship with Jesus Christ, the Lord's Supper is nothing more than a church ritual that might be something holy that hopefully might help me get into heaven someday. But if I know Jesus, I see the Lord's Supper as a way to remember him and to give honor to him. So my question again, coming back, is do you have that personal relationship with Jesus Christ? The other thing I want to share this morning about the Lord's Supper, and then we'll move on into a time of response invitation. I think there's several lessons that we can pick up out of the Lord's Supper. Again, the first thing is that Jesus is a personal God, and he cares about you personally. He cares about me personally. He came and died not to save a religious group, did he? He came and died to save you and me. He came and died to save individual people. In other words, you don't have to be part of a certain religious group in order to get saved. You don't have to be a member of the Catholic Church, or a member of the Methodist Church, or a member of a Baptist Church, or a member of some other Christian church. Jesus came and died to save you. Because it ain't about religion. It's about kingdom. It's about God's power and God's love for each and every one of us. I just happen to think we Baptists kind of do it the right way. So that's why I'm Baptist, but I'm Christian first. And Jesus told us in John 1, chapter 12, he said, to as many as who received him, Jesus, to them Jesus gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name. To those who believe in his name, he gives the right to become children of God. Wow. In other words, every person who believes in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, who has accepted what Jesus has done, to accept the sacrifice that Jesus made, to accept the outpouring, to accept the covering of their sins in his blood as that perfect atonement, will in fact have eternal life. Jesus Christ will save them. And you know what? That's a blessing, that's a promise, and that's security. You can take that one to the bank. The other thing that I see in the Lord's Supper is that it teaches us that it was done through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's where, as he shed his blood, that was what covered our sins and makes us see, be seen by God as pure and acceptable and righteous, because Jesus' blood was perfect. And you know what? That's awesome. That somebody, God himself, loved this character enough to where he said, I'll die for you. Folks, that's what God said to every man, woman, boy, and girl. He said, I love you so much that I will go to the cross for you, and I will pay your sin debt permanently. He did that for every one of you. Give him, say, thank you, Jesus. Amen. You see, Jesus said, God set up the rules. It's his. That's how to be saved. It's him. Amen. It's not by the church. It's not by man-made religions. And that means I don't have to worry if I mess up with and break a church rule. Praise God. How many of those have we broken over in our lifetime? I've got, my God laid out the rules that it takes to be saved. And he says, you've got to accept Jesus Christ. You've got to believe in his name. That's it. Period. And accept what he did. That's all. Believe and trust in him. And so I've got this wonderful promise. You've got this wonderful promise where we're going to be with him forever and ever and ever. Amen. Forever. Wow. The last lesson I also see in the Lord's Supper. When I come to the table and I look at the bread, and I take the bread. When I look at the cup, and then I take the cup, I remember the blood payment that was made for my sin, because Jesus Christ, God himself, loved me so much that he said, nail me to the cross. Pierce my side. I'll shed my blood for you. And you know what? As I come to the table and I remember Jesus, I just remember about how awesome he is and how much love that he wants, that he demonstrates for me. And it's because of that, you know what? We were talking about how to be salt and light. Guess what? Think about how much Jesus loves you. Because when you start loving him back, you're going to be all the salt and all the light that he ever asks for. Love Jesus. Amen. Love Jesus. So as you come today and you start to think about Jesus, start by giving thanks, remembering him. As you come to the table today, give thanks and take the bread, remembering that you're taking this bread of life was offered up for you. And he says, here, take. Remember that. And as you take the cup, remember that he made that covenant for you. He made the sacrifice. All because he loved us more than anything else. More than anything else. And he made that covenant for us. And he shed his blood for us. So today, remember Jesus. Father, thank you so much that we could be here. But I thank you most of all for the sacrifice that your son Jesus Christ made on the cross almost 2,000 years ago for each and every one of us. Thank you so much that he offered up the bread of life himself. He poured out his perfect blood as a perfect atonement for my sin. He perfectly covered me so that as I stand before you, I can stand free. I can stand guiltless. Thank you so much for what you did, Jesus. It's my prayer this morning, Father, that if there be anyone here or anyone who would hear us that has not accepted Jesus Christ as his or her personal Savior, I pray the day would be the day when they turn to Jesus through the power, through the guiding of the Holy Spirit, and they acknowledge him. They ask forgiveness of their sin. And then they ask him to come into their heart, to be in their life forever. I just lift that up to you, Father. And I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to spend some time now. Our praise team is going to lead us in time of response. And if you need to come and use the altar, If you want need to come and speak to me about anything, feel free to do so. But use this time, every head bowed, every eye closed, and just respond to God as God speaks to you. Just respond to Him. He loves you so much. He loves you that so much.